keep laughter alive. Don't take yourself so seriously. You're not all that you think you're cracked up to be. God has a sense of humor. I mean, look in the mirror. You're not that cool. We're not that cool. Keep laughter alive a little bit. I tell you, it will help you immensely in the areas of anger.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Yesterday, we were listening to a message entitled Taming Anger. Pastor Wayne was sharing how anger is not always a bad thing. It's only bad when we are unable to control it. Well, today he will continue with some practical advice on how to keep anger under control. Here he is with the conclusion of a message entitled Taming Anger.
Yeah, but you don't know the situation in my house. It really has nothing to do with situations. It has a lot to do with the way we think about situations. Remember, I am convinced that life is made up of 10% what happens to you, 90% how you respond to what happens to you. Change the way you think, everything changes. Isn't that right? A lot of it does, our perspective. I mean, I remember the story of this Portuguese guy that had this car. This car was running in good shape, but had 200,000 miles on it. So he said, I hate this car. It has 200,000 miles on it. I hate it. So his friend said, you want to sell it? Man, do I want to sell it. But nobody wants to buy it because there's 200,000 miles. And the friend said, hey, if you want to sell it really bad, yeah, I want to sell it. Okay, I got this mechanic that he can doctor up your odometer. What? Yeah, you know, it counts all the miles. You know, he fixes it. He said, what's fixing it? No, don't ask. Tell you what, just go to my friend. You want to sell it? Yeah, I want to sell it. Just go to my friend. Tell him you want your odometer fixed. Tell him I sent you. He'll know what I'm talking about. Okay, the Portuguese guy says. So he goes in there, gets it fixed. A month and 2 months later, this guy sees a Portuguese guy driving the same car. Hey, Mano, come here. I thought you wanted to sell your car. Oh, I do. But the thing is in good shape. After all, it only has 50,000 miles on it. See, a lot of it is changing right here. We want to change the way we think about these things. So you say, okay, what are some of the remedies that'll help us change the way we think about life and the things that we run into? Let me give you these three. Number one, would you write this down? When you feel that angry sensation coming up, and it happens to us all the time, the first is, would you do this? Number one, here it is, bring resolution quickly. Bring resolution quickly. What do you need to appease that? Get rid of it in a positive way. Convert it into positive action. For some of you, it just means to get out of that situation. If you stay in it, you're upset at this fender bender, a guy that's trying to butt his way in, just drive away, just get away. Three lanes, just move away, just slow down, let him go up. Whatever you need to do, resolve that. Don't let it linger, because the longer it lingers, the more it moves to red line, and once it moves to red line, it's destructive. You've got to make sure that you steward it well. Let's read what the scripture says. Here it is. Let's read it. Go. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Here's what he's saying. Even anger has a sunset clause to it. You say, okay, I'm upset now, but I'm going to resolve it. I'm just going to move away from him, no problem. And then, whew. In other words, make sure you put an end to it quickly, because if you don't, it will linger and it will bite you. Steward it well, and here's what God is saying. And if you can steward that well, the best trophies of heaven await you, because that is exactly like the best of the best that can do that. And I want that to be us. Resolve it quickly, especially in areas of marriage. If you don't, it'll be self-destructive, not only to others, to yourself. It's like the guy, Portuguese guy that saw that his girlfriend was cheating on him. He got so mad, he got a gun. He went to the house, and the new boyfriend opens the door, and here she is with this other boyfriend. And he says, man, you took my girlfriend away. That makes me so mad. And he put his gun to his head. That's it. He said, I'll go and shoot myself. And his girlfriend said, no, don't do that. He said, shut up. You're next. It don't work. It can be destructive. So what do you do? Here's some tips, especially if you're married. especially if you're married, let me give you these five tips here. Number one, learn to report your feelings one by one. Don't wait until it piles up and you got 15 things that you're mad at. And then finally, one little thing, he throws his socks in the corner. That's it, you're a filthy slum, I'm out of here. The guy say, whoa, it's just socks, dude. But it's not just socks, it's 10 years of socks, you see. But not only report your feelings one by one, but would you put it on the next one? Then forgive one by one. Don't wait. If there's an infraction on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is like just inconvenient, and then 10 is like murder. Don't wait until it's 10 before you try to forgive. Don't wait until you're in counseling before you forgive. Forgive when it's 1. Just, it's all right. And forgive. Honestly forgive, because if you stack 1 plus 1, well, that's a 1. Well, that's a 1.5. That's a 2. That's a 1. Just leave it. Just leave it. And you're stuffing it in. You add them all up. What does it all add up to after a while? A murder. So you must learn to forgive. How? One by one. And then would you write number 3? And then keep laughter alive. Don't take yourself so seriously. You're not all that you think you're cracked up to be. God has a sense of humor. I mean, look in the mirror. You're not that cool. We're not that cool. Keep laughter alive a little bit. I tell you, will help you immensely in the areas of anger. It'll help you immensely. And then number 4, remember to locate the real enemy. Your real enemy is not your spouse. Your real enemy is not your kids or your coworker. You know, the Bible says this, listen, we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. When I am angry at my spouse or she at me, or we're mad at one another, mad at this person, that person, I want you, when we're about ready to punch each other out, I want you to stop just for a second in the midst of the yelling. Stop just for a second. You'll hear some cackling in the shadows by a demonic personage, and his name is Satan, because he's the real enemy. But he uses little things to cause us to destroy our friendships, destroy our marriages, destroy our futures, and destroy our testimony for Christ. And if he can get that, he's won. So when we don't locate the real enemy and we think each other is, he just cackles with glee because we're doing his work for him. Locate the real enemy. And then last one, number 5, practice speaking what is right. You got to practice speaking what is right. What's the truth? Because so often we let our feelings dictate what the truth is, and it's often the lie. Your feelings will not be accurate. How often we say, you want to know the truth about you? You want me to tell you the truth? I'll tell you the truth. You're ugly. You're an idiot. And you're incompetent. And you could do mankind a favor by just dying. No, that's not the truth. Yes, it is. No, it's not. You know what the Bible says? Write this down. Psalm 119, verse 160. You know what it says? Thy word is truth and the sum thereof. Thy word is truth. What's the truth? The truth isn't what I feel. The truth is what God says. Eternally, that's what's truth. Isn't that right? In the long run, it's not what I see. It's what he says and what he sees. That's the truth. So I've got to practice speaking what God is speaking. I got to practice because my feelings will war against that. So if you really were on, if you were truthful, according to God's word and God's way, you would say this. You want to know the truth? You want to know the truth? I'll tell you the truth. God loves you. He died for you, and I love you too. Isn't that right? Because that's God's word. And if we were honest, we would have to say it this way. You want to know my flesh? You want to know how stink I am? You want to know how evil I am and how messed up I am? I'll tell you, and then you can burst it out. But nobody wants to hear how fleshly I am, because it makes no good. It makes no benefit. And if we were honest, we would say, you want to know the truth? Say what God says. Will your feelings fight against it? Absolutely, but you make sure your feelings and flesh don't win. But isn't that just denying yourself? Yeah, the Bible says you deny yourself, because that's going to last about 20 minutes and change. God's word lasts forever. What do you want? Which one are you going to choose? And so learn, practice speaking the truth, and it will be so helpful. The second is number two. Little remedy to help you. Number two, slow anger to a standstill, which means when that speedometer starts going up towards the red line, or the tachometer towards the red line of this thing called anger, slow it to a standstill. And then you can use that for change that's positive. It gives you traction and low-end torque rather than going off the charts and becoming destructive. Slow it to a standstill. Let's read this next scripture and you'll see. Go. Everyone must be quick to hear. Here it is. Slow to speak and slow to anger. Why? For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Underline that. It will not achieve the righteousness of God. Anything that, when I'm in the red line and I am blasting people with anger, nothing that I do will accomplish God's will at that point. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I've got to slow it down and say, I will not get to that point anymore. I will use this feeling inside of me to make positive changes in my life, and you make decisions. You know what's that? What that's called, folks? It's called leadership. That's what leaders do. They see something, they feel strongly about it, they make sure it's right, and they make the decisions, and change happens. Let's read the next one, Psalm 119. Go. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Greatest trophies of heaven await you when you can convert anger into positive torque. And then the last one, whenever you get upset, can you really try to do this? And I try to do this as much as I can, and that is this. Whenever I have the feeling inside of me, the first thing is always look inward first. Because there's a reason I'm getting really upset. There's something happening on the inside of me. Well, what is it? It's in Matthew 12. The Pharisees came to the disciples and they said this, "Hey, Jesus, your disciples are eating. Your disciples are eating without washing their hands in a ceremonial way." And Jesus said something crazy that we don't understand. He said this, "It is not what enters the man that defiles him, but what comes out." The disciples didn't understand that. Well, three verses later in Matthew 15, they come to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, what do you mean? Explain it to us." And he says this, let's read it, go. "For out of our heart comes evil thoughts, murders, false witness, slanders, and these are the things which defile the man." Here's what he's saying. A lot of that stuff, anger, slander, murder, is already in your heart. It might be in seedling form, potential form, still in latent form, but it's in my heart. So when someone does something, what it does is it surfaces that, and I say, "That man made me angry." No, he didn't make me angry. He surfaced anger that was already in my heart. "That woman, she made me lusty." No, lust was in your heart. She may have kind of moved a little bit for you, but you were the one that put yourself in the place to see it at that bar or whatever, and oh, she just made me out of control. She didn't make you nothing. It was already in there. And the Lord is saying, watch what's in your heart. That's why a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth what is good, and an evil man out of an evil treasure. What? Yeah, you can decide what kind of treasure you'll have in your own heart. And if there's a seedlings of bitterness, wrath, anger, strife, slander, malice, murder, it's in seedling form. And so sometimes I say, "He made me bitter. She made me do that. That person." No, they didn't. It was in, they surfaced it, but it was in seedling form. And a lot of times when I get angry, I have to stop and look inward, because a lot of times I come to a quick conclusion, blame somebody else, when the Lord is saying, would you knock it off, Wayne? You have a tendency to jump to far too quickly to conclusions that are wrong and destructive. And it's time you stop. And I look inside myself and I think, that's it. That's true. Let me tell you a story. This is about my son, Aaron, when he was about 8 years old, 7 years old, I think. We'd given each of the kids about $4 each to buy some stuff for them. And he came out of one of these Hawaii stores and he had a little package and he said, Dad, I bought you a present. So he got in the car and I was driving and it was a van and he stuck his head through the seats and I said, oh, what is it? And he gave me the package. And I opened up the package and to my dismay, he had bought me a shot glass. And I took it out and I said, well, this is dumb. I said, what in the world did you do that for? He said, well, I just wanted to buy you a present. I said, well, this is a dumb present. What am I going to do with it? She's going to sit there. I have to throw it away. I don't use this stuff. What am I going to do? And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me like, I thought, what is this? I said, that's crazy. I said, sit down. I put this thing down, kept driving. I looked in the rear view mirror, and he's crying, big crocodile tears. Now, don't feel bad for him. And I said, man, not only is this kid funny in his thinking, he's hypersensitive. What'd you do that for? What'd you buy this for me for? And this is what Aaron said, Dad, you know a church, because I know you're a pastor. I said, yeah. He said, you know, when we take communion, everybody has plastic glasses, but you're the pastor and I wanted you to have your own. And now I'm crying. And you know, the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, inside of you is a quickness to jump to conclusions that's going to destroy your own children. It's not them, it's in you. And I understood, Lord, I need to look within a little more. So you know what Anna and I have done? I've kept this from that day on. It's in my, among my cups in the shelf in the kitchen. The cabinet to always remind me to look within first before I judge anybody else. Some of you are here and you say, you know, Wayne, I have a bunch of seeds inside of me. I can't even reach. How do I get rid of them? Because they seem to always surface at the wrong times. That's what communion is all about. You know, when you take what the cup is, which is a expression of the blood of Christ, the scripture says the blood of Jesus washes us from how many sins? All sin. When I take that, it's almost as if I'm saying, Lord, would you let the blood that you shed on Calvary wash the seedlings of sin on the inside that I can't even reach nor access? Could you do that for me? And then when you take the bread, what we're saying is, Lord, and now give me the strength of Christ, that when these seeds are obliterated, that I will now stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has set me free from that. And I will not succumb again to coddling these thoughts, that I'll stand fast and be delivered from that and know what freedom really is. Freedom is not defined as all those things I can do now. Freedom is defined as all those things I don't have to do anymore. I'm free from them. And Christ can set you free. We're going to take communion in closing, and would you let it be that? We're going to end the service that way to say, Lord, would you let that blood wash me on the inside? Some of you need a washing on the inside. That's what it's for. And the bread, Lord, give me the strength that when I get free of these things, I don't go back into it in 3 weeks. Give me the strength to stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has set me free. On the day that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. As oft as you eat it, remember me. In like manner, after they had supped, they took the cup and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant shed for you and for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you drink it, remember me. I'm going to ask all of us to come to Calvary. Because as we talked about that conversion of converting anger into something good, the point of conversion for all mankind is Calvary. It's the cross. Some of you may have never received Christ before. Come to the cross. Because conversion starts with us, mankind. And then he puts his thumbprint on us and he says, now, when things come into your life, I will give you the strength to convert that, not let it destroy you, but convert it from bad into good, something lower into something higher, something destructive into something beneficial. I'm going to give you the strength and the power to do that. And so we become ambassadors for Christ. But it begins with us being converted. If you've never received Christ, I want to give you that chance today. For those of you who say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I've got seedlings in my heart. That's what his forgiveness is all about. Take this and let it be a new beginning for some, deliverance for others, but for all of us, strength. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this bread and this cup. We come to the cross today, and we thank you for helping us to be a people that convert anger into something beneficial, godly changes that we must make. Sometimes it needs to be a bit radical, but it's all for our good. So may we be people who steward well the capacities that you give to us. Help us to utilize them according to your design and not missteward them into destruction. And now, Lord, let your blood wash us clean on the inside first. We receive forgiveness and then give us the strength to stand fast in that liberty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have just heard part two of a message entitled Taming Anger by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening.
I pray you'll be our eyes and watch us where we go. And help us to be
next time. This is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.